This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to conclude my series of lessons on the instrumental music question. A lot of people in the community know that churches of Christ do not have instrumental music in their worship, and a lot of times they want to know about that, or they want to know why that is the case. And even some members of churches of Christ may or may not know why they sing without an instrument. So I hope that this series of lessons has been helpful. In part one of our series, and remember, you can always get these back issues, the previous recordings of the Let the Bible Speak program. You can get those on our website, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ website. It's at wbcoc.org. wbcoc.org. And in part one of this series, we looked at the case for singing, why we sing without an instrument, why New Testament churches, the music that was offered up in praise to God was singing and not instrumental music. So part one dealt with the positive case for singing. In part two, we looked at various Bible arguments, both in the Old and New Testament, that people set forward to try to justify instrumental music in worship to God. And as we conclude today, we want to answer some arguments from human reasoning. These are just ways that people have thought about the subject and questions that they ask from time to time, and we want to answer those arguments from human reasoning this morning. So we'll just get right into it, and we hope that our study will be beneficial. We are so glad that you join us each and every Saturday morning for the Let the Bible Speak program. And I would encourage you to do one better. Come visit us at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We would love to have you come worship with us 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, where we speak the truth in love, 290 Warfield Boulevard. So let's get into our arguments that we want to answer this morning from human reasoning. Number one, where does the Bible say not to? In other words, where does the Bible say do not use instruments of music? This is a very popular argument that is used all over religion to justify a number of different things. Where does the Bible say not to? Well, when God specifies one kind of music for worship, any and all other kinds of music are excluded. All God has to do is say what He wants, and that excludes all the things that He does not want. We do that same thing with our children when we tell them to go to the store. In fact, I told my son just yesterday to go put some gas in his vehicle and put some gas in the small gas can for the lawnmower. I didn't have to tell him, and I gave him some money, I didn't have to tell him all the things that I don't want him to buy with that money. I just had to tell him, go put some gas in your truck and in these gas cans, and that's all he did. We do that all the time with various instructions. We do it, teachers do it at school, employers do it at work, parents do it with their children. All over our life, we practice this principle. But when it comes to the Bible, for some reason, we don't understand it or we don't get it. When God specifies what He wants, and He's done that in the New Testament, He has specified that He wants singing, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. That excludes playing. Now, had God said in some generic way, make music or play music, any kind of music would be authorized. But we go by what He specifies. We go by what God says, not by what He does not say. Where does the Bible say not to? There's a whole realm there where God has been silent on the matter. There are places in the Old Testament we should learn from the Old Testament where God did not command something. Leviticus 10:1. They offered up strange fire which God had not commanded them. Deuteronomy 17:3, Deuteronomy 18:20, Jeremiah 7:31. They were doing things that had not even come into God's mind. Acts 15:12, those who went out troubling the church were not given a commandment and permission to do that. Friends, we need to remember that a practice does not have to be expressly forbidden, in other words, thou shalt not, in order for it to be unauthorized and sinful. Let me say that again. A practice does not have to be expressly forbidden to be sinful or unauthorized. And that's a principle that we really need to learn and get down clearly in our life. Here's a second argument that is made. Some people will make this argument. This argument was made to me by a Lutheran church leader one time years ago with regard to instrumental music. I asked them why they use instrumental music. He made this argument. He said the New Testament does not specifically prescribe it or forbid it. It is adiaphorous. Adiaphorous is an old term, church term, religious term, ecclesiastical term, and it's used by the Lutheran Church and others, and it means morally neutral, neither right nor wrong. It's just a matter of indifference. Well, that's not actually the case when it comes to the music that God wants. God has actually spoken about the kind of music He wants in the church. When He specifies singing, when He authorizes singing, all other music is forbidden. And so, it's similar to that point that we just made. When God specifies one kind of music and He has vocal or singing, all other kinds, and the only other kind I know of is instrumental, it would be unauthorized. And again, we use this same type of reasoning with our children, our spouse, others. When we specify something, we exclude naturally all other things. We don't have to sit there and verbally exclude all the things that we don't want. It's understood. It's implied. Now, if we were to say something general, if I had told my son, take this money and go buy some things, then he would have liberty to buy whatever he wants. But I specified gasoline, and that excludes all other things. Here's another argument that sometimes people will make. They will say there's no specific mention of it in the New Testament, like church buildings. You don't read about church buildings in the New Testament or church signs sitting out in front. You don't read about actual baptistries that hold water inside of a church building. And so the scriptures, the argument goes, are silent on these things, including instruments, so the issue is in the realm of opinion. The Bible is just silent on it, so whatever it's silent on, we can have that. Have you stopped to think about the thousands of things that could be brought into the church in the name of religion that the New Testament does not mention? Do we really want to go down that road? The problem with this argument is that it's what I would call the old expression, mixing apples and oranges. The church building is authorized under the generic authority to assemble, Hebrews 10:25 and other assembling passages, coming together passages, 1 Corinthians 14, other passages. When we are told generically to assemble, that authorizes a place. So the place doesn't have to be specifically mentioned in the New Testament. The generic authority does. But the type of place or the location of the place or the makeup of the place does not have to be specifically mentioned. That's why we can have a church building when the church building is not specifically mentioned in the New Testament, because the general authority to assemble is that necessitates a place to assemble. But the instrument is different. The instrument is not like the church building. The instrument is excluded because we have specific authority. When there is specific authority, when it has been specified, singing, then it actually has been mentioned in the New Testament as to what God wants. God is specific with regard to the music. He's generic with regard to assembling. regarding the place and the location and time and so forth. We meet at 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning. That was not specifically mentioned in the New Testament, but it's authorized under the generic command to assemble. We are allowed to pick the time, the location, and the manner of assembling, whether it's out under a tree, a tent, a building, a person's house, a storefront building, a rental facility, whatever. But the instrument is different. It is excluded because God specified singing. Here's another argument that people use. They say, well, playing an instrument is only an aid. It helps the people to sing. And that's true. It might help people stay on key. It might even help cover up bad singing. So some people say, well, it's an aid. It's like a songbook. The songbook helps us to have the words right there. It's like a song leader who stands up and starts the song and keeps it going. It's like a pitch pipe where you can blow a tone and know how high or low the song is to be when you start. So it's like an aid. Well, let me answer that. First of all, a true aid does not add anything to or change in any way that which is specified. God specifies singing, and a songbook doesn't change the act of singing. A song leader, a pitch pipe, words up on a PowerPoint screen, that doesn't change singing in any way. A true aid simply aids what is specified, but it cannot be an addition to what is specified. A true aid will never be an addition. Those are two different things. Mechanical instruments of music are an addition. They add to a kind of music. They add to that kind to singing. So now you have vocal and instrumental music. A good test of it is, when you use a songbook, only one thing is being done, singing. But when you have an instrument of music, two things are now being done, singing and playing an instrument. When singing with a mechanical instrument, two things are being done. So it's not an aid, it's an addition. And the good way you test that is, how do I know if it's an aid or an addition? Well, if it's an aid, it doesn't add to the substance of what is being done. If it's an addition, now you have something in addition to what has been specified. In the Lord's Supper, we have unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. You might have some plates or some cups to help distribute that, but when it's all said and done, all you have is unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. But if somebody wanted to come in and say, well, it's just an aid, we want to have hot dogs and hamburgers and Coke to aid us in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We're still going to have unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, but we're going to have these other things that will help that go down. No, you've now added food items in addition to unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. You can have trays and cups to help distribute that, and you haven't added anything to it. So an aid does not become an addition if it's a true aid. No, friends, mechanical instruments of music are not simply aids. They are additions. And whenever you add to God's word, you begin to do things that are unauthorized. God's generic authority, if he were to speak generally, that allows an expedient or an aid to fulfill that generic authority. But when God specifies something like music, and we have specific authority, singing, then we cannot add to that which has been specified. People say, well, what about a piano to keep the pitch all throughout the song? Wouldn't it just be kind of like a pitch pipe? No. You have begun to play on this piano or organ or have a band. It's now an addition. Here's another argument that is often made. Instrumental music is played in the home. In fact, we have a piano in our home, and I was in the band, and one of our children played trumpet in the band, and so we have instrumental music at school and hobbies and at home and so forth. And the answer to that is that there are some things that are morally right when done in the home. There's nothing wrong with that, but religiously wrong when done in the church in worship to God. And the Pharisees, for example, washed their hands, Mark chapter 7. Nothing wrong with that. But when they made that a binding tradition in religion, they crossed over into something that was wrong, and Jesus rebuked them for that. And there's other examples of that kind of thing in the Bible. We need to be careful about that. So individually, at home, we can do all kinds of things, but we can't bring that into the church. Something can be morally right when done individually or in the home, but religiously wrong when done in the church. We have to have local church authority for something that we're doing in the local church. There are things in Scripture where individuals are doing those things. It's to be kept in the realm of the individual. And that's one thing that often hasn't been taught through the years, and that is that there are things where an individual may do something and it be right, but as a local congregation, they may not do that. And so how do we know if a local church may do it? Well, look at passages dealing with local churches to see if instruments were being used, and you will find that they were never used that way. Here's another argument. This is very popular today. I use my talent to praise God. I have a God-given talent to play the piano and worship, or I have a God-given talent to play an organ or some other instrument or have a band in the church, and I'm playing my instrument as praise and talent to God. Well, this argument would allow anything in worship to God. Look at all the different talents that people have. You know, magic talents, juggling, there's sports talents. There's all kinds of talents. I heard of a church one time in Houston, Texas that had belly dancers in it. And I'm sure all the men enjoyed that. But belly dancing is a talent that some women have. Well, that could we do that in praise to God? Standing on your head is a talent. But we don't do that as worship. Hog calling is a talent. Yodeling is a talent. When we go to these auctions, auctioneers, I love to hear an auctioneer. That's a talent to rattle that off real quickly. But we don't do that in worship to God. Should these be in the church simply because it's a talent that a person has? A person with talent must still remain within God's authorized pattern. There were those who were talented in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. They had a talent to work gold and other materials, but they had to stay within the pattern of the tabernacle. They couldn't just use their talent to build anything they wanted. So talents have to be constrained and controlled by patterns of authority. And that's what many people don't realize. Use your talent to God, absolutely, but it has to work within the framework of God's authority for the local church. Here's another argument that people make. I don't see any harm in it. I like it. It sounds good. Well, I would admit the same thing. It does sound good. When you listen to church instrumental music, it sounds good. And somebody says, well, I was raised hearing instrumental music in the church, and it's what I like, and it's what I've been used to. Well, what about Eve? When she saw that fruit, she liked it. It looked good, but it was wrong to eat it, Genesis chapter 3. What about Uzzah when he put his hand up? The ark was falling and no one was to touch the ark, 2 Samuel 6. He thought it was a good idea. He liked it. He realized, hey, I got to stop this thing. I got to put my hands up there. He struck dead. Listen, friends, the important thing is what does God want, not what do we want. What does God want? We need to be pleasing to God, Galatians 1:10. What does He like? Jesus always pleased His Father, John 8:29. What does God say? Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Doesn't matter what I want and what I like and what I say. And with this me-oriented world that we live in so much today, it's not surprising that we hear this kind of argument in all kinds of things. Will worship, what we will, what we desire, is sinful, Colossians 2:23. And we need to be asking ourselves, what saith the Scriptures, Romans 4:3, not what do I like? Our guideline should be, what saith the Scriptures, not what do I like? So that's a great principle that we need to get right in our life. We're looking on the program this morning at various arguments from human reasoning that people have made, and we're answering them with Scripture, not with opinion. It wouldn't help me to answer one set of human reasoning with my own human reasoning. That wouldn't do any good. We're trying to answer human reasoning with God's reasoning from Scripture. And I hope that this is being helpful to understand these matters. Here's another argument. Some people say it's all right for Christians to listen to instrumental music outside the assembly so we can have it in the assembly. Well, first of all, Christians sang outside the assembly and did not play instruments. We have two examples of it, Paul and Silas singing hymns, Acts 16:25, and James 5:15, if any man is cheerful, let him sing. So listening to contemporary Christian music can be like the old famous Trojan horse, where you bring something in your personal lives, and then you find all of a sudden it's in the church. We need to be very careful about that. Singing outside the assembly in the New Testament is what Christians were doing, not listening to instrumental music, religious instrumental music. Some people say it's right to have beatboxing with singing. So beatboxing, where you're making the sounds of instruments with your voice, it's kind of like having instruments. And if you can do that, then you can have instruments. We're to sing and teach. And this requires words, not just sounds. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16 speaks about singing, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Teaching and admonishing requires words, not beatboxing. Those are two different things. That's becoming has already become a popular phenomenon in denominational instrumental music. Some people say, well, it's all right for a Christian to practice religious songs on the piano, or they ask that. Well, as long as the practice does not lead to worship, I could see where a person might try to work out the notes of a particular song so that he's singing them properly. The intervals between this note and you jump up or you jump down, and I want to make sure that I'm getting the right interval there. But if we're singing a song in worship to God where we're thinking about the words and we're thinking about God, we don't need to be using that piano. Sometimes people will say, well, is it all right? These are sort of related types of questions. Is it all right to have solos and choirs in the church? This is very popular today. It's the same answer as we looked at earlier. God specified singing that excludes instruments of music, and God specified when the singing is done, it's one to another. Each one is doing it. Ephesians 5:19. Colossians 3:16, and so that would exclude a soloist, and that would exclude a choir of just a few people while everybody else is listening. It's to be everyone doing it at the same time, one to another. That's what that means. So, we need to remember that we have to go by basic Bible authority, not by what we think and feel and human reasoning. You will never hear anyone say, I've never heard anyone say, Jesus commanded New Testament Christians to use instrumental music in the local church. You'll never hear anybody say that because there is no such command. And on the flip side of that, you'll never hear anyone say, you cannot be pleasing to God unless you play a mechanical instrument of music. I've never heard anybody say that. Everybody recognizes that singing is what is in the New Testament with regard to the local church in worship to God. There are no instruments of music in the local church anywhere. Remember in our first lesson, if you missed that one, I would encourage you to go back and get it. I looked at all of the New Testament passages that deal with music in praise to God, and it was always and without exception singing. I've never heard anybody say, you can't be pleasing to God unless you also play an instrument. They know that singing by itself is pleasing to God. And friend, that's what we need to be doing. I hope that we understand better the issue over instrumental music. And if you still want to study this more, let's get together. Let's study in the privacy of your home. We can meet anywhere that you would like to meet with an open Bible and an open mind and study these things. Don't just simply take these things for granted. Instruments of music were introduced in religious services many, many years after the New Testament. And as I said at the outset, I can provide for anyone the historical background, the church history that shows that instruments of music began to be used on a regular basis only about 700 AD, about 600 years after the New Testament church. They're not found in the New Testament. So we all talk about being New Testament Christians, and yet we're doing something that's not even a part of the New Testament. We sing because that is what God has said. So let's sit down and study these things, and don't be afraid to change and stop something that we shouldn't be doing. Don't be afraid of that. Let's not be afraid to do what is right, even if that means going against others around us and friends and family and tradition and the way it's always been done. Don't be afraid to stand up for truth, and once we learn that, make a change. I've had to do that a few times in my life. I've had to make some change about what I believed or practiced when the truth was shared with me, and I didn't like it, but it was good for me, and it will be good for you, friend. We don't play a mechanical instrument because God never authorized it in the New Testament. That's just how simple that is. Friends, we can unite here in Clarksville and around Tennessee, around the world, upon what is in the New Testament. But we can never unite upon what is not in the New Testament. Mechanical instruments of music in worship to God by Christians is never found in the New Testament. And as such, it is unauthorized and, yes, even sinful. We need to stop that. We need to get away from that which is unauthorized and sinful. And if we can sit down and study these things together more, let's simply do that. Please contact us. We're so glad that you joined us as you join us each and every Saturday. And we hope that this material was good. And we hope that you'll have a good day. And thank you for joining us.